Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are. Wow. What a surprise just before we started the show today. And we're waiting for Judge Kimba Wood to decide what she's going to rule on attorney-client privilege in the Michael Cohen situation. So we'll find out what that ruling will be, and it should be coming down pretty soon. But I'm just reading through some of this material. It's coming in as fast as I can possibly keep up with it here. And Sean put out a statement that said, Michael Cohen has never represented me in any manner, in any matter, never retained him, received an invoice, or paid legal fees. I have occasionally had brief discussions with him about legal questions about which I wanted his input and perspective. Based upon that, if you're talking to a friend of yours who happens to be a lawyer and you say, hey, what do you think about this legal? I got a legal question for you. That is not privileged. Not unless you are a client. What fascinates me about this, though, that is the statement from Sean, but the filing with the court, with the federal court this morning, was that Michael Cohen has three clients: President Trump, Elliot Broidy, and one that he did not want to name. He wanted to keep secret, which made it, somebody sent me a tweet saying it made it worse, because then everybody goes, ooh, there's a secret? Well, what's the secret? I want to find out what the secret is. And the more they held back and the more they said, I don't want to say, the more everybody said, say it. And so finally he was the attorney in court said it's Sean Hannity. So Sean's saying he's not my lawyer and I'm not his client. Then why did the lawyer for Michael Cohen file papers saying that he was a client? I got the feeling Michael Cohen isn't the best lawyer in this side of the Mississippi. I got the feeling he just isn't, but he was even thinking about representing himself, which everybody knows. Any lawyer who represents themselves has a fool for a client. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on the federal court downtown and see what happens out of that about the attorney-client privilege. It was supposed to be just a mundane, Cohen goes in and says, hey, I don't want my records rifled through by the FBI, and I got attorney-client privilege, and the government was going to say, no, he doesn't. So it's blowing into more than that, but that's essentially what this is still. Coming down to, there's Michael Cohen, who has tried to act as friend, as confidant, as buddy, as lawyer for the person, lawyer for the organization. Which is he? And so we'll see what the judge decides and all of that. All right. The other big item, of course, that's running around today was last night, James Comey on ABC. I did not see the interview. I don't know who's programming ABC. They made a big tease out of Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on George Stephanopoulos' Sunday morning show. They'd spend an hour with James Comey. They made it sound like it was going to be they have 5 hours of tape, for heaven's sakes. So they thought that was what it was going to be. So we tuned in Sunday morning. Nope, it was just a bunch of panel discussion. And so then comes around to the fact that, no, the show, the main show, the two-hour interview is going to be at 10 o'clock tonight. I know that Sunday night is the night where most people watch television, but that's why 60 Minutes does so well, because they're on at 7 o'clock. At 10 o'clock is a little late in the night for a lot of us who have to get up early the next morning and go to work. So I didn't see it. But I was surprised yesterday and I've been surprised this morning by all the pundits who are chiming in from Fox, from MSNBC, from CNN, from ABC, from all these different places. my impression, my wife even said, "Ah, you sound like you don't like Jim Comey." I said, "No, it's not. I'm just telling you, these panelists are by and large really going after Jim Comey, up one side and down the other." There's a guy who wrote about Jim Comey in 2013 when Barack Obama nominated him to be the FBI director. And so this reporter went out and interviewed anybody and everybody he could find that knew Jim Comey. This is 2013, so we're talking 5 years ago. And what he reported at the time was that everybody likes Jim Comey. They think he's a good prosecutor. They think he is a good man. But that he has a desire for attention and to be the center of whatever's going on, and has a flair for the dramatic. And that came up, he said, in conversation after conversation after conversation. I think we've worked with these people before. We all have egos. I have a big one. That's why I do this for a living. But apparently his is really big, and he wants to make sure that everybody thinks that he would tell people, that essentially lay out the story, different stories, always the same theme. I am here to save the world. I am here to be the moral arbiter of society and our country. And that's my role, whether I'm a U.S. attorney, deputy U.S. attorney, or whether I'm the FBI director. Apparently that was the impression everybody came away with, was nice guy, good prosecutor, smart lawyer, but that he thought that somehow he was blessed with being the moral arbiter of everything and was going to decide how everything was, and he was going to come in and save the country. So listening to people talking about Jim Comey's interview last night with George Stephanopoulos, there's a bunch of themes. One of them is that he kind of thought of himself as being the moral arbiter. He even decided that Donald Trump, which for those of you that wonder, is Donald Trump really smart, or is he just a con man and stupid as can be? I've heard both descriptions. And James Comey said he is a man of above average intelligence. And he certainly is qualified and fit to be president based upon physically, medically. But he said he's not fit to be president morally. So there he is again, exactly what people said about him 5 years ago. He is deciding that he is the moral arbiter of the president. And what's really somewhat hilarious about all of that is that I guess you might look back to JFK. My friend Larry Elder wrote about it on his Twitter feed, saying, according to Seymour Hersh, JFK had venereal disease for decades, slept with a mobster's mistress, partied with hookers in the White House, and everybody looks up to JFK. But Trump is morally unfit. Then George Stephanopoulos' boss, Bill Clinton, was accused of rape and sex assault, had sex in the White House with an intern, lied about it under oath, for which he was impeached, but Trump is morally unfit. And that George Stephanopoulos never asked Comey how he could find that Hillary lacked intent to violate the Espionage Act when the provision in the law does not require intent. All it requires is gross negligence. So there's a lot of criticism about the fact that George did not ask a lot of questions about Hillary and about the server and about all of the passes that were given out by the FBI, immunity to person after person after person before the investigation was even done. None of those questions came up. So I've basically heard on George Stephanopoulos' show yesterday morning, he had a Democrat strategist on, and she was really smart and good, and she was critical of Donald Trump, up one side and down the other. Not a surprise. Chris Christie was on defending Donald Trump. Then you went around the table, and there was a bunch of people there. Meghan McCain, I'm trying to remember some of the others, but everybody was criticizing James Comey. Everybody went after James Comey. So this morning, I'm listening to one pundit after another commenting on this, and it seemed like everybody was going after James Comey. Left, right, Democrat, Republican, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, didn't matter. Everybody was going after Jim Comey, and I heard one number which I was kind of startled at. They have printed 850,000 copies of his book. They have pre-orders for 200,000. So, well, wait a minute. I know he's going to be on everybody's television show over the next 2 weeks. So the publicity will continue, but the word out of the reviewers is he didn't say anything we did not already know. And he gave opinions, but he never really got into the real meaty stuff about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And I told you the other day, I was disappointed when he was talking about reaching down to what I consider to be the low part of Donald Trump, is mocking of people. And that's what Comey did about Donald Trump, was mocking him. Yeah, he was smaller than I thought. His hands were smaller than I thought. He had a long red tie. It was orange. It was like personal attacks, which is something that I know the president does that. I don't like it. It just seems more unbecoming on Jim Comey, who holds himself up to be such a almighty good guy. So if you saw the interview last night, I'm interested in your comments on what you thought of the Comey interview on George Stephanopoulos' special last night on ABC. 855-295-6600 is our phone number. You can find that number and all the ways to contact the show at TomSullivan.com.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
All right, so let me play a couple of these clips for you, and some of the pundits, see what you think about all of this. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can follow me on Twitter, at Sullivan Radio. Jay sends me a tweet, says, these interviews are more revealing of Comey as being a bigger tool than Trump. Sorry, no better way to put it, and for Trump, it's a badge of honor. I don't know if it's a badge of honor, but I'm right there with you, Jay. I don't think this is making Jim Comey look good. In fact, I think it's making him look bad. Here's one cut where George Stephanopoulos, he said to him that Trump may have obstructed justice.
Was President Trump obstructing justice?
Possibly. I mean, it's certainly some evidence of obstruction of justice.
Okay, some evidence. But as we all know, trying to figure out obstruction of justice has to be done on purpose. It has to be done with corrupt intent. How do you prove that? I don't care whether you're Bob Mueller. I don't care who you are. How do you prove what the intent was? So he says, oh, there's some evidence that Trump may have obstructed justice. But then he went right on to say, but he should not be impeached. And he went on to lecture us, you and me, shame on all of us for electing him, and this and so deal with it, America. You elected him. You ought to be more careful next time. That's what that was the big message he had. He may have obstructed justice, or may be some evidence of him obstructing justice. May is a long way from he did. And secondly is, he turns right around and says, yeah, but I don't want to see him impeached, because I want people to live with the consequences of their vote. Jack Quinn was on MSNBC, former White House counselor under President Clinton, and he says Jim Comey is judging Trump on morality instead of legality.
He says at one point in the interview that perhaps the president obstructed justice. Well, that could be, under certain circumstances, an impeachable offense, of course. And then he says the president shouldn't be impeached. And he says it in a way that suggests the American people deserve punishment for electing him. The Constitution doesn't work that way. If indeed there are high crimes and misdemeanors, then impeachment is in order. I'm not suggesting that we know that now. But again, he's injecting this sort of moral conclusion in an area where a fine analysis of the law is what's really in order.
Yeah. So when you call this program, I am now going to be morally judging what you have to say. Yes. I have deemed myself to be the moral arbiter. Back to Jack Quinn, says Comey's book is not helping the Mueller investigation.
You know, I honor James Comey's service to the country and the rule of law. I'm troubled by the timing of the publication of his book. The investigation here is in the main, in the hands of Mr. Mueller in the Southern District of New York and, you know, conceivably in the Attorney General for the state of New York. I think that his injecting himself now is unhelpful. It's bad timing, just as was the bad timing of his announcement about reopening the investigation of Mrs. Clinton during the campaign. I wish he had held off. I don't think this makes life easier for the FBI. I don't think it makes life easier for Mr. Mueller. And it was just an unnecessary intrusion at a very, what I think is, delicate moment in this investigation.
Look at this. Jack Quinn should be pro-Comey, anti-Trump. He's a former Clinton White House counsel. He is a Democrat. And I couldn't agree more with this guy saying, why is Comey releasing this book while an investigation is underway? Again, it goes back to what people said about him 5 years ago. He's got a flair for the drama, for the dramatic. And he wants to get in while the getting's good and sell a lot of books. Okay, I get that. But usually I would think an FBI agent, let alone the director, would go out of their way to not interfere with an ongoing investigation. Like he said, there's the Mueller investigation. Now you have the U.S. Attorney for New York, Southern District of New York. You've got possibly the Attorney General of New York State. You got all of these, and you're out there writing a book about all these things that went on. But bottom line is, maybe that's why Jim Comey's book is so boring, is because of the fact that there's nothing about what Trump did legally or illegally. It's all Comey's opinion, and it's all things that we already know. We'll be right back.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Just looking over the ratings last night, they're just coming in. ABC News interviews, looks like it was 9.something million people. Pretty good size audience. Country Music Awards were on last night. They got 12 million. They weren't exactly up against each other. That probably put maybe this answers the question why they started at 10, so they didn't want to go up against the Country Music Awards, which got 12 million people. The interview got 9.7 million. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Val in Stuart, Florida. Hello, Val.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask you what you knew about the famous Comey notes, all right? The copious note taker.
Right.
Remember all that about the notes a number of months ago?
Remembers so everything and took the notes, and he has such an ironclad memory, but he couldn't remember a lot of stuff last night. So
no, he doesn't remember a lot of stuff. He doesn't know the answer either.
No.
That's the other thing he says.
Well, he's very good at when he doesn't want to answer, he says, I don't know, but, and he moves on to something else.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. That's what he says.
Yes.
Simple questions he doesn't know the answers to. But I don't understand about the notes. I follow this stuff, and I don't remember hearing anything from the press about what was finally in those notes. Has Congress seen it? Has members of Congress? Why don't we hear anything about them?
Your timing is perfect on this. They have been given, the Justice Department and the FBI have been given a deadline of tonight. So they are supposed to turn those over to Congress by midnight tonight. So this is...
after all this time.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know whether it's going to happen, but that
well,
is...
Well, maybe they're in the book. Maybe he put them in his book.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I want to see some photostats in his book.
I haven't read the book, so I can't tell you if they're in there. The book officially comes out tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to turn those over. This whole thing about turning over evidence from the FBI and the DOJ, I went off on a rant about this Thursday or Friday. I get why they don't want to turn over. I think I get why, because you hand something over to Congress, and Congress members are a bunch of wusses, and they all immediately, if they have some secret, they're going to pick up the phone and call somebody over at the Washington Post and be buddy-buddy with them by leaking information. So,
but people have seen the notes, haven't they?
Not outside of the DOJ. So
Congress people? I thought some Congress people were allowed to see them. No.
Devin Nunes and Trey Gowdy were shown the notes in Rod Rosenstein's office on Thursday or Friday. That they could not take them.
They're going to become public. You say they're going to become public.
Supposedly.
Okay, well, so we'll see how many delays there are this time.
Well, Comey's a strange guy. I mean, he may be a very good lawyer, and he may be a very good prosecutor, but he really does think that he is in charge of your morality. I didn't know he was our pastor. I had no idea. But he thinks of himself that way. He's there to save us.
He's that way.
And shame on everybody for voting for Donald Trump, but he should not be impeached, so that you have to learn your lesson. Sounds like I remember my kindergarten teacher talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He made a big deal about the notes, and I haven't heard a word about them, and they deserve to be made public.
Well, let's see what happens tonight. That'll be a subject for tomorrow,
yeah,
for sure.
Somebody needs to see them.
Yeah.
I want to see if he really took them or not.
Well, he apparently took something, because they showed, Rosenstein showed Nunes and Gowdy something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't talk about it?
Apparently it was all big hush-hush, secret. These are supposed to also be, they're demanding unredacted notes. They don't want any redaction.
Well, I can't see redacting unless there's some national security reason.
Exactly.
But I'm not a lawyer.
No, you're not a politician.
All right, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, it's good. Your timing's perfect. Val, thank you. Do appreciate your call. Here's Evan Siegfried. He is a Republican strategist. Said the RNC and Donald Trump are dropping the ball on how they are handling Comey's book.
I think the White House is really blowing it again, because we know they miss opportunities. They could take it as a win, and they could stay above the fray and say, listen, James Comey, he's entitled to sell his books. We're going to talk about the issues that matter. But instead, the White House and the RNC are spending money rebutting James Comey. In fact, they're inflating and amplifying his message. No, James Comey's book is not going to change anybody's minds. If you liked the president, you're going to be attacking James Comey. And if you didn't like the president, you're going to be attacking Trump and saying, here's a smoking gun. It's an ink blot. But the White House should be and the RNC should be focusing on, say, the midterm elections. And also, they're incentivizing the anti-Trump book market, because look at the sales, or the pre-sales. The book comes out tomorrow, and it's through the roof. 850,000 copies were printed in advance, and at least 200,000 have been sold in pre-sales.
Okay, great.
Well, there's where I got those numbers. It's I don't know. We'll see whether or not people buy it, because the original review of it was there's nothing in there that we don't already know. But I like what Evan had to say, is focus, focus, focus. Focus on the issues that are affecting people. And let this soap opera go. Donald Trump has a very hard time of doing that. If you attack him, he cannot help himself. He will attack you. So he went on a Twitter rage Sunday morning, one after another about Comey, and he's so bad and this and that. It was just, it showed that Donald Trump looked like he was afraid and was protesting way too hard. And if he had just waited to see the interview last night, and it turned out to be much to do about nothing. And the book apparently is much to do about nothing. All that Trump did was get more publicity for James Comey and his book. So good for the president. They put him on a plane today. They sent him down to Hialeah, Florida. And he had a conference down there with all kinds of people about the tax law and tax reform and what they like and what they don't like and everything else. But it was all about taxes, tax reform, what the president signed, the new tax bill. It was on issues that people kept. Tomorrow is tax day. I know it's the 17th, usually the 15th, but tomorrow is the deadline to file your 2017 tax returns. So that's why they had this tax event in Florida today. And now the rest of the week, the president's going to stay at Mar-a-Lago. Prime Minister Abe from Japan is going to be coming in. And they're going to be having conferences about this, that, and everything else regarding Asia and Japan and trade and North Korea. But those are the kinds of issues people want our president to be working on. So why he goes nuts with these Twitter rants that he did on Sunday morning, all it does is give publicity to the person he's ranting about. And surprisingly, even Stephanie Ruhle, who is so anti-Trump, MSNBC morning host, said Trump, his questionable morals, everybody already knew it during the election.
The president being morally unfit, those issues were known before he won. Whether we're talking about a career of lying about things great and small, the Access Hollywood tape, the people he surrounded himself by, everyone knew that when they voted for him. That part is not a surprise. The surprise would be, did he commit illegal activity that colluded with Russians to help him get elected, or bad business practices?
Yeah, she makes a good point. Everybody knew it. There wasn't any surprise, and they still voted for him.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Well, Val was right. There's not a lot of news about these notes, but the Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, is the guy who has demanded the James Comey's notes, and he wants them by midnight tonight. Tired of waiting. So we'll see whether or not that happens. I would not bet the farm on it, I'll tell you that. Phone number is 855-295-6600. What do you make of Jim Comey? Is he as honest as the day is long, or is he basically making up whatever makes him look good because of the fact that he has poor judgment? He violated most of the FBI, in fact, all of the FBI agents I've talked to about this. It's not a lot, but they have all said that they know him. He's a good guy. But, man, did he blow it on that Hillary investigation about giving her a pass and then reopening the investigation. It violates everything that the FBI has as far as process and procedure. And the same with the DOJ. So why did Comey do that? What was he up to? Yeah, I don't blame Hillary for saying, you know, she blames him for her loss. She blames a lot of people, I know. But I think if there's an argument that she has, that's the best one. I still think she wouldn't have won. There's much more going on in this country, especially the middle class. They got tired of being ignored. 855-295-6600. Scott, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, I didn't call about Comey, but Comey, he's a punk. I don't even know why that guy is still allowed to be on TV to talk, because he's delusional. But the thing that drives me crazy is the fact that people complain about Trump and him firing back. We, American people out here, we like it, because for 8 years, George Bush didn't say one word. And how did that work out? It didn't work out. It just gave the left more ammunition. So we like Trump fighting back. Now, yeah, sometimes he drives you crazy, but we like it, and we want him to do it. And he does more than just fight back. He does other stuff. The guy's doing stuff all the time.
I don't mind the fighting back. I think mocking people is below the belt, but that's just that's my opinion.
That's the part that kind of drives us crazy. But, you know, if he can drive the Dems crazy, I'm all for it. Because they've been doing it to the Republicans for what, since Nixon?
Yeah, but see, you're into this, drive the Dems crazy. The Dems are Americans. They're our fellow citizens. You are in a war against a group of people that are fellow Americans. And I ask the question: then are we in a civil war?
But I think we are. But they want to eliminate what I believe in. So, I mean, if they're the ones that push the agenda on that with schooling and church and guns and everything else.
So if you believe in the American system, then you believe that's how you change things, is you go to the voting booth and you check the box for your person.
Yes.
And that's right. the way we correct whatever it is that we think it should be corrected. It really is.
Right. But I will agree with you. Today it's, I'm a Republican, so I'm voting Republican. I'm a Democrat, I'm voting Democrat. I will agree with you on that. But there's a reason for why that's happened.
There's no question people have differing opinions and differing views, but do you have any friends that are Democrats?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
we can't come to any kind of...
That's fine. But you're still friends. You'll go out and have a beer with them.
Oh yeah, we're still friends. I don't know about beer, but we're still friends. But we can't sit down and talk about politics, because, like I said, we are so far from each other. There's nothing to talk about. All it is an argument.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's good or bad. I mean, I don't know.
That's fine. It's called debate. It's great. We should have debate. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with debate. As long as it's healthy debate. Yeah. And then you go and you vote, and you tell your friends not to go vote, and you go vote, and then you win. I don't know. All right. Hey, Scott, thank you. I appreciate your call. We have time for here's another Evan Siegfried, Republican strategist, says Jim Comey's tarnishing his own name by coming out with this book.
I think if we have to look at James Comey and his career, I served in the Eastern District of New York for 6 years, and James Comey was a revered figure at that time. And over the past year, since he was fired as FBI director, he has taken the integrity and respect he has earned throughout the legal community and the law enforcement community and set it on fire with how he's been showboating with this book, the timing of the investigation. And that's a very sad thing to see.
Yeah. Showboating. What I think that's what the president called him, was a grandstander. Apparently that's his reputation. There's another guy who had high marks for him, but apparently has watched him go off the cliff here on all of this. What are we listening to? Here is Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney. He's outside the courthouse.
Let's listen. Those documents, I think there is significant danger to the president. The president trusted Mr. Cohen as his fixer for years. He trusted him with his innermost secrets, and I think that the chickens are about to come home to roost. Next question.
If you were Mr. President Trump, what advice would you give him today?
I wouldn't even begin to advise the president at this juncture. I think the ship has sailed.
Why did McDaniels come to court today? There was no really reason legally for her to
No, there was absolutely a reason, because we wanted to ensure that the integrity of the documents was maintained, and we wanted to lend her voice towards making sure that the American people learned the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about what happened to her and to others in her position over the last 10 to 15 years. We haven't made a determination yet as to whether she will attend each hearing in connection with this process. Well, I think it speaks volumes, and I think Sean Hannity got thrown under the bus by Michael Cohen's counsel today, who was clearly more concerned about protecting the president than protecting Sean Hannity. But we're going to let them sort that out. Anything else?
All right, so that's Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, and he's holding court outside the federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan. The judge has adjourned. The parties will propose suggestions for a special master, but the judge said that she has not decided whether to appoint one. The judge has issued a temporary restraining order. A preliminary injunction has not yet been ruled on. So, the judge denied the temporary restraining order. So that means that the FBI still gets to look at all the documents that they seized from Michael Cohen's office. Case or judges has adjourned the court. So I don't know what happens next.